Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. If you're just joining us, a very blessed feast of the Assumption of Our Lady today. If you're not sure what we Catholics mean by the Assumption of Our Lady, well, you can go to catholic.com, just type in the word Assumption in the search bar, and it'll tell you all about what we're celebrating. But we do believe that our mother, given to us while Christ himself was on the cross, was taken body and soul by her son into heaven to await all of us joining her there. She's the first of the Christians to enter into that glory. This hour, man, we got a great guest for you. I'm a little nervous because I've heard him give a talk, and I'm going to try to match his standards this hour. We're going to talk about accompanying those with same-sex attraction by David Prosen. It's a guide for Catholics. It's from our Sunday visitor. David is a counselor, a graduate of Franciscan University, and he's appeared in all kinds of Catholic media. And you can find his talks just by searching David Prosen, maybe put in Steubenville or something, and his talks will come up. And you will benefit from them. You will very much benefit from them. He's also one of the people featured in The Third Way, Homosexuality and the Catholic Church, a very fine film that I will also recommend to you. David Prosen, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much, Cy, for having me here.
So you put it in book form, accompanying those with same-sex attractions. I thought The Third Way was just a fantastic movie. I mean, can you maybe say something? What did you want to communicate in that movie, and then what with this book?
Sure. As far as the movie goes, Father John Hollowell and Blackstone Films put that together. I had no idea. I was just asked to share my story. So I had no idea until it was released what it was. And I was just so moved. It's basically, as you know, the three paragraphs of the Catechism. That's really what it is. Brought to life with real people,
right?
And scholars and Catholic speakers. So they did a great job in doing that.
Help me if I got this wrong, but it struck me that what they mean by the third way in the movie is that there's a kind of way that people deal with same-sex attraction, which is be fully immersed in what you might call the gay culture or something like that, and embrace kind of an identity. And then there's another way where people do a kind of harsh pray the gay away thing, as if they're, you know, that's enough prayer and God will fix me. And the third way is a different way. It's a way of the sacramental life of the Catholic Church, of an embrace of chastity, but not, a kind of demand of God that he fix me.
Right, right. Now, you know, I still think that healings can happen. And,
yeah.
You know, emotional healings of the past doesn't necessarily mean, and it can mean, that attractions will decrease or not decrease. And God is a source of all healings. But yes, the third way is about following the church's teaching in living a chaste life. And you know what, Cy? Often for many of us, to live a chaste life, especially if we were caught up in pornography or sexually acting out or any of that, it involves, we really need to have healing to be able
right.
to live a chaste life.
Yeah, I was very struck in particular watching your talk that you gave at Steubenville in 2016, I think it says, that as I was watching it, I was thinking, you know, I do men's retreats. I have one that I do with a group of men. We've been doing a retreat together every October for years. I don't know. And again and again and again in men's retreats, there's this sense now that pornography is everywhere, that even married men are having trouble living a chaste life. Single men are having trouble living a chaste life. I don't know how it is for women, but I thought, well, you're talking about, you know, embracing and learning chastity and accepting Christ's healing, that is not just a message that should resonate with a man who has same-sex attraction or a woman who has same-sex attraction. That's really, all of us need to hear that healing can really happen.
Yes. Yeah, you know what? The culture keeps saying that chastity is impossible. In fact, is harmful. And it's not. It's not. And that's why I really love Courage, because, and I'm sure we'll talk about that more, but Courage International is the support group. It's a group for men and women who experience same-sex attractions who are striving to follow the church's teaching on chastity. And it's grounded in the hope of that we can live fulfilling and meaningful lives. by living a chaste life, by striving for chastity.
Right. I feel like a man such as yourself who has experienced those moments of healing, and it's ongoing. You don't ever present it as like, oh, a miracle happened and now I'm a different person. It's more of an unfolding miracle, really. You have a lot for all of us. That's, I guess, what I'm saying. You have a lot for all of us, not just for men who are experiencing the same attraction or whatever. But all of us need to have that confidence restored. Yeah, Jesus really does this for you.
Absolutely, yeah. And it doesn't, yeah, because it doesn't matter what your cross is.
Yeah.
You know, we all have our crosses, each and every one of us. And there is so much hope in Christ. You know, and you know what? Here's the other thing, too, is I don't think any of us were meant to carry our crosses alone. We need each other.
Yeah.
And that's so important.
If I may, before I get to the book, the book is called Accompanying Those with Same-Sex Attraction, A Guide for Catholics. David Prosen is the author, and he is our guest this hour. You can get it from our Sunday Visitor. Just one more thing about your talk at Steubenville, and then I promise we'll get right to the book. But it seemed to me that you had some very maybe difficult things to say to priests as well. I don't know if it would be difficult for a priest to hear, but very direct things to say to a priest about needing to express the truth to people who come to confession. What I got from it is there's true compassion, which is the Lord's compassion, and then there's a false compassion that kind of goes beyond what the Lord says. Could you just say something about that?
Sure. We need truth.
Yeah.
And often, you know, the world's view of compassion or love, it doesn't necessarily involve truth. And, you know, I really believe, and I speak about this in the book, that love and truth and hope, and this is, I really believe that they're all three are intertwined. And, you know, you cannot separate them, especially truth and love. And I think our culture today wants to separate that. And that's where we see a tolerance type of definition of love, which really isn't what love is. You know, love is so much more. It's wanting the best for that person. So yes. In regards to priests, I don't answer your question. But yes, I think I do. I addressed in that talk, and I also address in the book too, that we need to hear the truth. And you know what? Sometimes we get angry, all right?
Yeah.
I got angry when I heard some of these things. And I needed to wrestle. But see, that anger was important. Anger isn't bad. I believe that the anger and all emotions are used by God. As long as we take our emotions and our emotions with reason and with will, if all three are working together, they can help us. You know, I think that's what was meant was, you know, for God to allow us to have our emotions and reason and will working together. We can allow our anger to hurt us, but we can also allow our anger to help us. And when I heard the truth about things that were tough to hear,
yeah,
things
yeah.
were sins that I didn't believe were sins, I got angry. But that anger helped me search for the truth. And then I wrestled with God. And I wrestled with him some more, and eventually I conceded, and it was at that point, Si, that out of exhaustion, you know, and I turned to him and I asked him for help, and that's what he was waiting for. He doesn't force himself on us.
Oh.
He was waiting for me to ask for him to help.
I was also struck that a good friend of yours, or at least a friend of yours, who was a man who identified as a gay man. He saw that nothing wrong with being gay or living that way. And he said to you, but whatever you're doing, you seem so peaceful. Do you remember that?
Absolutely, yes. It was actually a woman friend of mine.
Oh, a woman, okay.
Yes. And she had she had said that. She was extremely liberal And she said, David, I would never tell this to anyone else. You know how I feel, that there's nothing wrong with being gay, but this is really working for you. You seem so peaceful now.
And that's what we have to take a quick break, David. David Prosen is our guest. The book is Accompanying Those with Same-Sex Attractions, A Guide for Catholics. It struck me that peace is a consequence of chastity. This is one of the things that we hate to hear. But when we experience it, okay. I do feel that you have a special gift for communicating that to people. We'll come back and talk more about the book with David Prosen right after this.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You know, I have never seen women who want to be equal absolutely degrading themselves. And yet the media degrades your nature, your beauty as a woman, your goodness. Let us pray at some point our dear Lord touches their hearts.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live on this Feast of the Assumption. We're delighted to be with you. I hope you're enjoying the feast. And here at Catholic Answers, us being a Catholic apostolate, we take the day off. So we have recorded this prior for you and delighted to share it with you. David Prosen is the author of Accompanying Those with Same-Sex Attractions, A Guide for Catholics. It's got a foreword from Father Philip Bochansky, who you hear from time to time on this program. He's the executive director of Courage International. So you became a movie star in the third way, and then you said, I need to be an author now. What's the motive behind the book? Is it just money, or are you?
No.
Because okay. I was going to say, don't go with our Sunday visitor if you're looking to get rich.
No, actually, you know, it's interesting because before the break, we were talking about anger.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was really what was happening. I really felt very hurt and angry at some of the things I saw happening in our church, and very confused. And at one point I was even questioning, you know, should I even stay?
Okay.
And it was the Holy Eucharist that was like, no, I have to stay because that's where Jesus is. So I took my anger and I took it to God and I surrendered it at the foot of the cross. And really that's what came out of this book, because you know what? There's so much confusion, and I can't even blame, you know, there are some leaders in our church that are confused because our culture is just very, very confusing right now.
Yeah.
You know, we're being force-fed stuff that isn't even true, things that aren't even, you know, for example, the American Psychological Association has stated we don't know what the cause is. You know, and I have it quoted in the book, and I can probably get it for you real quick if you wanted it. But basically, they say that a lot of research has been done, and we don't know the causes of it. What a lot of people think is it might be a combination of both nature and nurture. But yet, every TV show, movie, news, all the stuff we're seeing, magazines, all this stuff is, you know, if you even say that you don't think that a person's born this way, then you're a hater and a bigot. And yet we don't have the research even backing that up. So we are living in very confusing times. And I can't blame people in the church for being confused. And I wanted to do my part to show the real, you know, the real hope that we have in Christ. You know, I know so many people that are you know, so that are living meaningful and fulfilling lives, striving to follow the church's teaching and love Jesus, you know, and we don't hear about them.
Yeah.
We don't, you know, the speakers are loud in the culture, but it's been really quiet on this side. And now I believe God is calling more and more and more people like myself to share our stories and speak the truth in hope and authentic love.
Indeed. But there's the nature of the thing. There's going to be a defensiveness of if you say gay is an identity, for example, and it's one that it's immutable. It starts before you're born or when you're born, or you have it from the very beginning. It's very hard to hear. I suppose to that person, it sounds like somehow a denial of yourself or your identity, and it maybe has an undertone of betrayal to say, no, I'm not gay. I'm who I am. And I have certain preferences or certain attractions, but I'm much more than that. Well, do you see what I'm saying? I imagine that comes across as a betrayal for many people.
Sure, I think I felt that too. Ever since I can remember, way before I even knew what sex was, I had this attraction to the same sex. And for, you know, as an adult, I believe that was proof that I was born this way because I never asked for it, you know? And, but years later, I learned that there were reasons for that attraction being there way before I even knew what sex was.
Yeah.
And for me, it was, you know, there was a lot of bullying that happened in school. There was stuff with my dad. Everything about masculinity scared the daylights out of me. And there was so much shame. I was usually the last pick for teams on sports and that kind of thing. And so what ended up happening was, you know, it's normal for boys and girls to have heroes, right? And I think what ended up happening was I put my peers up on a pedestal. And
you mean boys who look like they were navigating that masculine world?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So I thought, you know, if only I look like him, or I was strong like him, or athletic like him, then maybe I would fit in and I'd belong and I wouldn't be so alone. And then in puberty, that horrible, horrible time that thank God I don't have to go through that again. Those attractions became sexualized and it brought even further shame.
Right. And I gather, too, from your story that you there at the time that you say reach 18 years old, there's not a community like Courage is today. There's nowhere for you to go to be kind of affirmed that, hey, you know, you're loved and you're a wonderful person, you know, other than to go, for example, to the gay bar where people are affirming that.
Right. There was nothing in my area at all. And by that point, Cy, I felt so alone in high school. I really did. And back in, you know, I graduated in 1980. So in the 70s, the only TV show that had a character was Billy Crystal's portrayal of Jody on Soap.
Right.
That was it, you know? And so I felt so alone. I couldn't wait. I don't know if I'd even be ready at that point if the church was to reach out to me, because I felt like I need to be me. I need to be me. And I went to the bars, and at first it felt exhilarating, but that did not last long at all. The loneliness and depression returned more so, and I really felt very alone. So years later, though, when I was ready for something like Courage, that's way, way, way down the road. It was a lot of, this whole thing has been a journey. Yeah. You know, the third way makes it look so easy. The third way, you know, it was edited for the sake of time. I've had people say to me, David, was it that easy? You know, I mean, here you are in all this pain, and then all of a sudden, boom, everything's wonderful. No, there were lots of valleys. And, you know, it's taken a while for me to get where I am now. And I have a long way to go. We all do. You know, we'll never be perfect or anything until we meet with God.
So if someone picks up accompanying those with same-sex attractions, your new book from Our Sunday Visitor, what will they find there? What are you hoping that they'll find there?
Well, what I'm hoping that they're going to find is truth, hope, and authentic love. The book was written for priests, for leaders in the church, but also for members of the church, those that sit in the pews, family members of those who have loved ones who experience same-sex attractions. So it's kind of written for everyone. And what I really hope that they get out of this is, you know, I really believe that, you know, the book is called Accompanying Those with Same-Sex Attraction, A Guide for Catholics. But at one point in the book, I asked, maybe we're asking the wrong question. And maybe the question should be, what is it that those with same-sex attractions need? And how can we best meet those needs?
Okay, go ahead. I was going to say, I just wanted you to follow up on that. So what's the answer to that, though? You mean, are you saying that the way to minister here is to say, what do you need? Or do you have a sense that you'd like to communicate, this is what's needed, this is what the parish needs to do?
So I kind of go into the book what I believe are the needs. And I believe there are three needs that we all have, whether we experience same-sex attractions or opposite sex attractions, just needs that we have to live a Christian life. Those three needs are, we need truth. We need authentic, real love, not this tolerance type of love, but real, yes, authentic love. And we need hope. And the beautiful part of this, Cy, is these three needs that we have are also three beautiful gifts that come from God. So, and that's kind of where I go with this and show some strategic ways of how to present truth in love and hope. How do we get some of those needs met?
If I could just at that, as you say that, share a pet peeve of mine, see if this resonates with you or if you just think I'm a horrible person for harboring this. But I think sometimes some of us, especially with the talking people who are in the talking professions, we think that sharing the truth is love. Like, well, I told him the truth. I said that's the same thing as love. And you're making a distinction here, truth and love. And it's not real love if it's not, you know, I hear this from people sometimes when I think you're kind of justifying not really loving other people because what you're saying is, well, first I got to deliver all this truth. I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but love is not the same thing as truth. You really do have to love your brother or sister.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's why I kind of said that I really see them as being connected.
Yeah.
You know, there are because there's those kind of people that, OK, they speak truth, but then they speak it without sensitivity and without real love. Then you have the other people who don't address truth at all. Yeah. They just speak about love. And, you know, love, love and truth, I really believe they're so connected, and I also believe hope is as well. So yes, there's a balance there, and I think we need to present the truth, but we need to do it out of love, and we need to realize that we can't fix anyone. You know, that's God's job. What we need to do is love, and then look for opportunities, and I speak about this, of planting seeds. And I think that priests and leaders in the church, they might handle it. They might not have the luxury of time, and they might have to be a little bit more with the truth, but it can still be done in love.
Yeah.
Family members, I encourage to really take their time and pray first, just be present and listen. You know, and I mean really listen, because there's so many blocks to listening, you know, and especially one of the biggest blocks is big emotions. And when you're told by your loved one that they experience same-sex attractions, or maybe a couple years later, it's now revealed that they're getting married, or they're saying I'm transgendered or whatever it is, you're going to have some big emotions. And at that point, a wall might come up and you might not hear the rest. So I think one of the biggest things is trying to be fully present.
David Prosen is our guest. The book is Accompanying Those with Same-Sex Attractions, A Guide for Catholics. He's also featured in the movie The Third Way. We'll take a quick break and then we will be back to talk more about truth and love and hope and accompanying those with same-sex attractions right after this.
In his new audio presentation, The Very First Fathers, apologist Jimmy Akin takes you on a tour of the earliest Christian writings outside the New Testament, from the most famous figures and most notable works to those lesser known but no less important. This pivotal time in the development of the early church is revealed in fascinating detail. Jimmy shows how, even in the first century after the resurrection, it was necessary to defend and explain truths that are still under attack today, such as the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the perpetual virginity of Mary. The Very First Fathers is a compelling look at the dawn of the Christian age and edifying listening for anyone who wants to understand and defend the full truth of Catholicism. Order your copy of The Very First Fathers today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew that she wanted those things, that in them somehow she would find God. Over the years as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker for your event? Catholic Answers speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. If you just don't understand something about the Catholic faith, Call to Communion is the show for you. Join us Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
I'm assuming no groovy music today, Nick. Is that it? It is Ascension Thursday, but... it's not Ascension Thursday. It's the Assumption, Feast of the Assumption, but it's on a Thursday, so I thought maybe we'd get the groovy music today, but we'll see. We'll see if we're going to get some groovy music. I don't know if you know that about our groovy music, David, but on Thursdays, sometimes Nick throws a little surprise in there with a groovy drum track under it, but I don't know. Apparently, since we're pre-recording, he may not have remembered it. Accompanying Those with Same-Sex Attractions is the book, A Guide for Catholics, by David Prosen, with a foreword by Father Philip Buchansky, the executive director of Courage International. Young people are very bothered by the way the Catholic Church teaches on particularly same-sex attraction. I was going to say on sexuality in general, but... it's funny, but even with kids who are not experienced same-sex attraction, they kind of know that the teaching on marriage is right. They kind of know that, you know, don't be promiscuous, that these are not unreasonable things. But often nowadays we hear the church is so unfair to gay people. That's how you'll hear it. And they will say in particular, and so I pose this question to you, David Prosen, how can you stay in a church that says you are objectively disordered?
Very good question. I can stay in this church because the church loves all people. That word, objectively disordered, is so misused.
Okay.
It does not mean that one has a disorder. It is not saying the church does not believe that people who experience same-sex attractions, you know, are disordered people.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, really what it's talking about is our inclination. The inclination, the desire is disordered. It's not the natural order. And in fact, those with opposite sex attractions or heterosexuals can also have disordered inclinations as well. A man who's married, who is wanting to cheat on his wife and is, you know, objectifying women, you know, that desire is also objectively disordered. There is a document, and I speak about it in the book, and you can go to the USCCB website, and it is called, let me see, there it is, Ministry to Persons with Homosexual Inclination, Guidelines for Pastoral Care. And there's a few quotes in there that I really like to use because, you know, you can hear it from a priest, you can hear it from a speaker like me, oh, it's just their opinion. That's really not what the church means. Let me see if I can find it really quick here.
The bishops explain what this idea of objectively disordered means.
Absolutely. And there we go, here we go, right here. So here are a couple quotes from here that really explain it. And this is in a church document. Quote, the homosexual inclination is objectively disordered, i.e. it is an inclination that predisposes one toward what is truly not good for the human person. Of course, heterosexual persons not uncommonly have disordered inclinations as well. It is not enough for a sexual inclination to be heterosexual for it to be properly ordered, end quote. And then later in the following paragraph, I love this, quote, it is crucially important to understand that saying a person has a particular inclination that is disordered is not to say that the person as a whole is disordered, end quote. So that's why, Cy, I'm still in the church. I love the church. The church loves all of us, everybody, no matter, you know, whether you're attracted to the same sex or opposite sex. You know, God loves all of us.
I suppose there's a way in which it's just very, very hard for our society to accept anything that includes the church's teaching on chastity, because our culture is actually insane when it comes to sexuality. I mean, it's just a fantasy world, like that you can do these things and behave in all these different ways, and it has no consequences for anybody, including children. And it's why the plight of children is very, very difficult in many places. But I mean, it seems like you're saying something very basic and sane to a world that is insane when it comes to sexuality. Do you ever feel that way?
Yeah. It, you know, and the thing is, our culture, as you know, it is drastically changed so quickly, and it continues to change more so as time goes on. And it just feels like insanity right now, complete insanity. And I'm seeing it in so many different ways, you know, people even having their jobs threatened and stuff. It's a very scary time right now.
It is. And so within the church, I wonder if a person, say, who experiences same-sex attraction. Okay, so, you know, I've been a young man, and young men have to go to confession regularly about their own, you know, like, I don't know if you're aware of this, but sexuality is very intense for, say, a teenage boy or a young man. And so you learn that you go to confession and Eucharist, and over time God nurtures you and helps you to integrate all of that and order it and that kind of thing. Is there a particular problem for a person who experiences same-sex attraction because you don't actually know what, I hate to say it this way, but what kind of priest you're going to get, that it's kind of a grab bag as far as what they might say to you?
You're, unfortunately, you're so right. And, you know, what I always recommend for people is to find a good, solid priest, one that does support and believe and love all of the moral teachings of the church. And that can be hard to do. But if you go to church, listen to the homilies, you know, have some conversations, try confession, see what, you know, how you feel about that. You also can talk to your Catholic friends, and you know, actually that's how I found out many is speaking to my friends, you know, and you know, a lot of Catholic, real solid Catholic people know real solid Catholic priests. So that is a great way to find out, but you're so right. You have to be careful. You know, when I was 21 and I was living actively as a gay man, I heard about a priest that helps people who have same-sex attraction. And I went to him. And I just, you know, I spoke to him and he said to me that I could have sex as long as I loved that man, you know, so I could be in a relationship and I could still have sex as long as I loved him. And I asked him about the scriptures and the teachings of the church. And I said, well, what about, you know, what the church says in the scriptures? And he said to me that in Leviticus, those things were there because they needed to be. And today they're not applicable to us. And he gave the example of pork. He said, now we know how to cook it. And then he said, in regards to homosexuality, that back then we had to procreate, but today we don't have to procreate as much because there's so much overpopulation in many parts of the world. Now, this is what I was told. This was when I was 21. So I'm sure that there are people being told this now. So, you know, and I think they're the minority. There are so many good, faithful priests out there. There really are. And I'm so honestly grateful for them. They've really touched my heart, and God has used them to bring out healings in my own life, you know, by showing me what a real Heavenly Father is. So I think it's important to seek them out and to find them out. And if you have a sense that, you know, if you're being told that, well, you know, it's not necessarily a sin, or yeah, you can do this or you can do that, and it's going against church teaching, then that's probably a good sign that you need to go to someone else.
If I may, did you at the age of 21 have a gut feeling that it was not true what this priest was saying, or were you just kind of like, no, okay, great, Father says it, it's all right?
No, you know, I'm glad you asked that. I had a gut feeling that it was a gnawing feeling, that this was wrong, what he was saying. But I really tried to force myself to believe it. And so I continued doing what I was doing, and I continued being even more miserable.
And so I guess that it demonstrates that kind of compassion that is not rooted in the truth really does end up damaging people. It ends, the depression deepens, the despair deepens.
Right, absolutely.
And we hear so often, I mean, I do feel it's very fortunate that at this time, much more than when I was young, I remember, there's kind of an openness talking about pornography and about the damages that pornography does in the church. But there is this a repeated story among men, and increasingly among women as well, of a little bit leads deeper and deeper and deeper, and then the depression gets deeper, and then it's more intense, and then people are viewing things that they never thought that they would be viewing. I want to relate that to your experience in maybe what would be called the gay culture or whatnot. Is there an increasing intensity that people experience, and also is there a masking of that with drugs and alcohol, as we see in other kinds of behaviors or acting out that becomes addictive?
Yes, for many people. And I'm not going to say that everybody is miserable all that, you know. But I will say this, there are many people like myself who were so miserable and depressed. And, you know, I never attempted suicide or anything like that, but I didn't want to live, you know. And there are other people, I'm not alone. You know, so yes, I you know, there's a lot of addiction for many people, and it can come in different ways. It can also be codependency. There can be codependency as an issue, or, you know, because I think there's an addictive quality to that. Also, as you mentioned, pornography, alcohol and drugs. And, you know, as far as sex goes, I think I kind of mentioned it a little bit ago. When I sat down and I like counted how many people I was with in the first couple of years, you know, and saw that it was almost 100, I really wasn't meaning to be promiscuous at that point. I was trying to find love, and I compromised. I just wanted to be held. I just wanted to be loved so bad. You know, there was so much shame inside me. Going back to your question, yes, I think that the more that a person puts things in their head, and the more they act out, the more they sexualize things, the more difficult it can become. I have met two people in my life that have told me that they never identified as gay, and they were into pornography, and then they stumbled more and more. They kept turning, you know, looking at more things, and then eventually got into gay porn, and then started identifying as gay. So, you know, and I think this is one more point. I know I'm kind of hopping around a little bit, but going back to puberty, you know, that 15-year-old, okay, or that 14-year-old, you know, puberty, as I told you, I'm so glad I don't have to go through that again. Our bodies were changing back then, you know, and hormones are going crazy. It's so normal to be confused.
Yes.
In fact, when I give talks, I usually tell people, you know, I really believe that most people, if not all people, at one point in their life or, you know, questioned themselves, oh my gosh, am I?
Yeah.
And that more than likely happened during puberty because, you know, let's say, you know, this happens to 15-year-old Tommy.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, what's this? You know, I'm getting a feeling in my body. You know, what is this? I'm with my best friend. You know, if he goes to a guidance counselor or something or watches TV, you know, we're at such a point right now that normal confusion
right.
will be mislabeled. And he may put this label box on him of gay. Yeah. And instead of letting it just do its natural course and let him work through puberty, and he may be accepting something that has nothing to do with who he is.
David Prosen is our guest. I appreciate that last point so much. The idea that we have to put a label on is really, it's a trap, really. I guess that's why you don't accept that label. David is the author of Accompanying Those with Same-Sex Attraction, A Guide with Catholics. I want to ask you about God, our Father. You talked about a difficult relationship with your father. I wonder if that can, if you found some healing there, and you can give the rest of us some encouragement as far as accepting God as our loving Father. Also, I want to ask you about the sacramental life, how the sacramental life fits into this path of healing that you are on. David Prosen, we'll be right back with those questions and more on Accompanying Those with Same-Sex Attractions right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul's Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Part of the success we've had on the world over, I attribute to certainly my relationship with Mother Angelica and her teaching me early on that when you sit with someone, you talk to them, you share with them, and you create an environment where they will tell you things they wouldn't tell anyone else.
The World Over with Raymond Arroyo, tonight, 8 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is David Prosen, graduate of Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio, as apparently every other good Catholic is as well. That's probably why I'm not a good Catholic. But are all the good Catholics now graduates of Steubenville? You got to go there? Or I guess it really does. It has had an outsized influence, hasn't it? David's brand new book is accompanying those with same-sex attractions. I just want to say again, if you search the internet and you put in David Prosen Steubenville, you'll get about a 45-minute talk that he did there, and you won't be sorry you did. It's just a beautiful testament to the healing power of relationship with Jesus Christ, and lots of stuff in there too about reasonable and respectful and wholesome and loving Christian charitable approach to same-sex attractions. That's full of a lot of wisdom, so I hope you will. And also you can see him in the movie The Third Way. I wanted to ask you about fathers because you do mention in the book something called the father wound, which I am hoping I did not give my children, but you'll have to tell me if it's inevitable. We all give it to our children. But so about God as your father and coming to know the love of a father, particularly when your relationship with your father has been difficult.
Yes. So with my dad, was an alcoholic and he did physically abuse me. And he was really good. He was really good at landscaping. He was good at fixing up old cars and things like that. And he would try to teach me, but most of the time he would end up screaming, swearing, calling me names. And, so there's a lot of wounds there. Now when, at one point I came to God after my sister's death, and at that point for 5.5 years, I was really searching God and stopped everything. And one of the things that I was able to do is forgive my dad verbally. And I'm so grateful, you know, and when he died, I knew that, you know, that was taken care of. The problem is though, Cy, that even though I verbally forgave him, there were all those scars and wounds that were there in my heart. And for, you know, many of us with same-sex attractions have father wounds, and it's not just same-sex attraction. Many of us human beings have father wounds, you know, and mother wounds. No one's perfect. There's no perfect mother, no perfect father, no perfect kid, no perfect teacher, no perfect, you know, we are going to make mistakes. And also, too, and one thing I always stress here, especially for any parents that are listening right now, and you mentioned yourself questioning with you being a father, you know, one of the things to keep in mind here is perceived wounds, okay? Because perceptions, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, mom or dad did this thing, you know, but if I perceived it, and there could be some misperceptions, it's still real for me. It doesn't necessarily mean that it happened. And if I don't communicate it, I'm not giving my parent a chance to know, you know, and to work through it. So please do not be, I'm going to say this to the parents out there. You don't know the whole story. You don't know everything. Please don't beat yourself up. Okay. So, I just wanted to make that clear before I go further with the father wounds on this.
Okay.
But what ended up happening with those scars and wounds was it made it very difficult for me to view God as my heavenly father. How could I know what that is if I never experienced it? So it was much easier for me to turn to Jesus, you know. It was so hard for me to understand what is this? And then healing started happening. And I started going to a Christian counselor. And it wasn't reparative therapy, it was just Christian counseling. And she was helping me work through several of those wounds. And some of them were perceived wounds, some of them were actual wounds. She was helping me work through that. And I had gotten to the point, and I have gotten to the point that, you know, I love my dad. And I know I can honestly say that, and I feel good about that, where it was so hard for me. And when that started happening and the healings with my dad started happening, I could understand God as my Heavenly Father more and more. And as that happens, I really want to know him more. And I start searching for him more, you know, and I started turning more to my faith and to the sacraments and learning more.
Wow. Praise God for that. And it sounds like you, or at least the way that you talk about it, it sounds like you, that you're able to accept love there in a way that maybe with the wounds before you were not. Is that what I'm getting?
You know, you're right, because there was a block. I think those scars, those wounds, it was almost like little walls there that were protecting me, maybe. I don't know, unconsciously or whatever, but there were little things there that it was so hard for me. How could I understand or receive the Heavenly Father's love with those things that I was grasping onto and holding onto? You know, so yeah. Until I was able to let go and forgive and let God, then that's when it started happening. And I was able to receive the Heavenly Father's love. And I'm so grateful, so grateful to him and for him using my therapist and also many loved ones in my life, too. Again, healing doesn't have to happen just in therapy, although I think therapy is an awesome thing. God uses so many things.
Well, then, if I may ask you about the sacraments then, because you are Catholic, and are the sacraments part of that healing process?
Absolutely. And reconciliation and the Holy Eucharist, I think, are so huge. You know, before I even go further with that, I looked up real quick, and I want to bring it up here, the five goals of courage. Courage International is the support group. It's the group, the apostolate, for those with same-sex attraction who are striving to follow the church's teaching. And End Courage is for family members. It's a sister group. And there's five goals of courage. And I just want to at least mention the second goal. Well, let me just say all of them.
Get in the five, yeah.
Thank you. So the first goal is to live chaste lives in accordance with the Roman Catholic Church's teaching on homosexuality.
All right.
Two, to dedicate our entire lives to Christ through service to others, spiritual reading, prayer, meditation, individual spiritual direction, frequent attendance at Mass, and the frequent reception of the sacraments of reconciliation and Holy Eucharist. Number three, to foster a spirit of fellowship in which we may share with one another our thoughts and experiences, and so ensure that no one will have to face the problems of homosexuality alone. Four, to be mindful of the truth that chaste friendships are not only possible, but necessary in a chaste Christian life, and to encourage one another in forming and sustaining these friendships. And lastly, to live lives that may serve as good examples to others. So as you can see, courage has nothing to do about change or, you know, changing attraction. It's a spiritual support, and it's beautiful. And I wanted to bring it up because your question about the sacraments, as you can see, is right there in goal number two. And it's so, so very important. You know, if a person is struggling with a sexual sin, they go to confession, you know, in order to be able to receive the Holy Eucharist. And I heard this once, and it's so important. Jesus, I think I hear music.
Yeah, you are. I'm sorry, David. Oh, you were doing, well, that means that you have to come on again. Now you are obligated to come on again. David Prosen has been our guest. The book is Accompanying Those with Same-Sex Attractions. You can get it from our Sunday Visitor Press. Please do. You won't be sorry. David Prosen, God bless you. Thank you so much for doing the hour with us.
Thank you so much, Si. God bless you.
And happy Feast of the Assumption to everybody. We'll see you next time, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.